From North State Public Radio, I'm Ava Nora Grove with your headlines for Friday, July 19th. The city of Chico is trying to challenge an existing homeless lawsuit settlement that bars it from enforcing anti-camping laws in public spaces. NSPR's Eric Adams reports on two city councilors' responses.
The settlement agreement Warren v. Chico is supposed to expire in 2027, but the city wants to reduce that wait. Chico is seeking judicial relief to get out of the agreement, since the Supreme Court recently ended a similar federal agreement. Earlier this week, Councilmember Addison Winslow told NSPR he opposes the city's approach. He said the city was using the 177-unit pallet shelter as a leveraging tool to end the agreement.
We're using the people in the pallet shelter and the existence of that as an available option for people who become homeless as a hostage to negotiate everything else we want that we feel entitled to now.
That's categorically not true.
That's Councilmember Tom Van Overbeck.
Nobody, not one person I have talked to, supports the idea of closing the pallet shelter. Those 200 people would end up back on the street. It's inhumane. It would be inhumane to do that, A. And B, my sense of what the people at Chico want is they want to keep it there. They want to keep it open because it's working really well. It's given people a path out of homelessness.
Van Overbeck supports the city's effort to end the settlement agreement. But after both sides traded demands this week, they must wait for a judge to weigh in. In Chico, I'm Eric Adams.
The legal firm that has been representing unhoused residents in the settlement agreement has rejected the city's proposals. More on their response from NSPR's Alex Stutson.
The city and Legal Services of Northern California exchanged letters this week. The city claims the recent Supreme Court ruling on the Grants Pass v. Johnson case overrules the existing settlement agreement in the Warren v. Chico case. That agreement in 2022 outlined the city's procedures when clearing homeless encampments on public property. Now, the city is proposing new rules, which would include enforcing anti-camping laws, even if there aren't shelter beds available. That's expressly what the Grants Pass decision allows. Corey Turner, an attorney with Legal Services, wrote a letter to the city, which has been made public. He said his firm finds, quote, no legal authority to justify the city's claims that the Supreme Court decision should void the settlement agreement. Turner also criticizes the city for presenting changes to the settlement outside of the dispute resolution process agreed upon when it was created. In Chico, I'm Alex Stutson.
Some union members in Tama County are unhappy with two of the county's administrators. NSPR's Ken Duvall reports Joint Council Local 39 took a vote of no confidence earlier this month against Chief Administrative Officer Gabrielle Heidrich and Personnel Director Coral Farron.
Union Representative Garrett Dickinson presented the decision to the Board of Supervisors Tuesday. He says the county has a history going back a dozen years of not negotiating labor agreements in good faith. While he acknowledged that Heidrich and Farron had only been in their jobs for 2 or 3 years, he said he believes they're carrying forward past practices. Farron told NSPR yesterday that she's unclear why this action was taken now because a new contract was just ratified and is in effect until 2026. She strongly disagrees with Dickinson's characterization and says she can't be held responsible for past practices. For NSPR News, I'm Kendall Ball.
Escalating housing costs in Chico make it increasingly hard for people with modest incomes to afford homes. The Chico City Council on Tuesday approved $2.4 million to underwrite a Habitat for Humanity project to build 5 affordable homes next year. The houses will be located in Chapmantown on land the city purchased in 2007 with redevelopment money. Construction is expected to begin next spring. Housing manager Marie Demmer told the council that prospective buyers will likely have household incomes amounting to 50 to 60% of the area median. And finally, as the COVID summer swell continues, California's positivity rate is now as high as last year's major surge. The California Report's Carly Severn has more.
The COVID positivity rate measures the percentage of PCR tests taken that turn out positive. As of mid-July, California has already reached the same numbers seen at the peak of last summer's surge, with a 4% rise in the last week alone. But this year's summer rise began many weeks earlier than in 2023. According to CDC wastewater data, COVID levels in California have now hit the very high category. The statewide PCR positivity rate is one of the few remaining ways public health officials have to track COVID rates. It doesn't reflect at-home testing. Earlier this year, the CDC stopped requiring hospitals to report the number of patients admitted with COVID.
That was the California Report's Carly Severn. And those are your headlines for Friday, July 19th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, head to our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Eva Norgrove.